If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The eve of the 20th Party Congress of the People's Republic of China's Communist Party in Beijing. Gordon Chang is with me to help me understand the architecture of the Chinese Communist Party. It is non-transparent to a great degree, but there are names. There are also opinions beforehand. And we welcome Charles Burton of the McDonnell Laurier Institute to guide us through some of these briar patches. And I use that metaphor because it is unclear if all of these men to be named want to be elevated to the position of chief person to blame, as Xi is now enjoying the blame of people around the world for his policies these last years, such as zero COVID, such as the collapse of the property market, and certainly such as the bullying towards his neighbors and the brutality, the genocide of the Uyghur people, etc. I begin with a quote from a recent analysis by the Washington Post. It is a quote from an expert who observes China's a very strange hierarchy. It is in everyone's interest not to mention the issue of succession. Even if politicians born in the 1960s make it to the Politburo Standing Committee, they will merely be Xi's technocrats. Charles, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much. Xi's technocrats. What does that mean, the Politburo Standing Committee, Xi's technocrats? These are the leaders of the Chinese Communist Party and the nation. Why are they subservient? Why cannot we talk about succession? That is the strength of any sovereign power. Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, I think the key here is as we look at the new Standing Committee of the Politburo, or indeed the Politburo itself, is the number of people who are identified as being of different political factions within the Chinese Communist Party to the loyal to Xi faction. And so, you know, if we see certain members entering into the Standing Committee who are known to have other factional affiliations, that would suggest that Xi's grip on power is not as absolute as we are inclined to think or as the Chinese media tries to make out. But if the Standing Committee of the Politburo consists simply of people who are known to be Xi loyalists or technocrats, if you will, in other words, people without differing ideological or functional distinctions, then we know that this is really going to be about a strongman, unchallenged, utterly non-democratic regime for which Xi will not be receiving any kind of differing views on the rightness of his policies or any breaks on his megalomaniac desire to dominate China and then, I guess, ultimately the world.
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, Henry Kissinger, when he was a political scientist, talked about the weakness of authoritarian and hardline political systems. And he said none of them have ever been able to solve the issue of succession. Now, if we go back 10, 15 years, a lot of even critics of the Communist Party were saying that the Communist Party had settled the issue of succession by developing and institutionalizing itself with norms, guidelines, rules. What we are seeing is basically a deinstitutionalization of the Communist Party with Xi Jinping. Do you agree that Xi has deinstitutionalized the party?
Oh, yes. I think that that's clear. I mean, according to the norms, there should be younger man in the Standing Committee of the Politburo, who also serves as Vice President of the State, a much lesser role, of course, who would be young enough to qualify for two terms membership in the Standing Committee, based on the previous norm that you retired at age 68. So, you know, if the normal standards that had been perhaps somewhat tentatively established held, then anyone who was 67 or younger would remain in the Standing Committee of the Politburo, and anyone who was 68 and older would not stay in, and that there would be one younger man in his 50s who would be the obvious person to assume power. Now we're seeing a situation where Mr. C is older than 67, isn't retiring after two terms, as was the convention. And the question is also if he will allow people who are over this, you know, line in the sand of 68 to remain. For example, if we saw the Premier of the State Council, Li Keqiang, remain in the Standing Committee of the Politburo, even though he is 69, then that would suggest that she is trying to send out some signals of accommodation to different faction elements, as, you know, the scuttlebutt is that Mr. Xi and his premier don't see eye to eye on a lot of matters, particularly economic policy. So, and then there would be the question of whether he might retire some people who are in the Standing Committee of the Politburo, who in fact would qualify under that convention to stay on, and replace them with people that are entirely loyal to Xi. And I think in general, you know, we'll look at how much replacement is there in the Chinese Communist Party's Central Committee and in the Standing Committee of the Chinese Communist Party. If it's a lot of people being turfed and replaced by Xi loyalists, and I think you know, what Mr. Kissinger has said is probably valid, and that we're going to have a Chinese government that is so focused on one single leader that it will be dangerous if he falters or gets drunk with power, almost inevitable, and or has great ambitions for his rule while he, you know, while he's still on Earth, to set a place in history. You know, we see this with Xi, we see it with Putin, we've seen it with any number of I guess King Lear type elderly statesmen who don't want to see the younger people come forward.
Charles, quickly, there are four names mentioned in the Washington Post story. You've observed them. I'll go through them quickly. There's a man named Hu. He's 59, but he has very little experience working with Xi, we're told. There's a man named Chen, who heads up the Chongqing, of an important post, a major post in a trading city. There is a man named Ding, who is Xi's chief of staff, so he works with his boss very closely. And a man named Li, L-I, who is the party secretary of Shanghai, the major city associated with exports and also with the army once upon a time. Those four men, however, are around 60, which between 59 and 63, which was Xi's age when he took control. Does that mean that they're just not where to look because they're going to go to men around 50 whose names we don't know?
Well, I think if, you know, if we get Mr. Hu, as you say, he's not a identified Xi loyalist, that would be an indication that Xi is not in his absolute power position, is not as strong as he wishes it to be, and that there might be a more collective moderating influence of other elements within the regime. If we see Mr. Ding, as you say, is basically Mr. Xi's secretary, and if he was put in, that would simply be consolidating Xi's position. And, you know, or he may just put in someone who is a weak placeholder instead of any of these people. We really won't know until the end of the Congress. I think what we have to look at is what Mr. Xi says in his opening speech, particularly about foreign policy and Taiwan. And also they've announced that there will be an amendment to the Chinese Communist Party's constitution. And what is that amendment? It's likely to be one that will deify Xi's ideology and strengthen his position as an unassailable political figure.
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, there's not only a question of who will be on the Standing Committee, the apex of political power in China, but how large it will be. is currently 7. It's been larger. It's been smaller. There's speculation that C, to consolidate his power, will actually reduce the number of people on the standing committee, presumably to 5. What are your thoughts about this?
Well, we have seen a centralization of power as Xi has removed functional responsibilities away from other figures in the party and towards commissions directly under his office as general secretary. So if the Politburo was reduced in size, that would be a suggestion that he really feels he doesn't need a lot of other people to help him out with his dictatorial rule. Rationally speaking, as China becomes a more complicated modern society with a lot of pressing issues in front of it, one would think that having more people in the top leadership roles would be a better thing in terms of the quality of governance. But I'm inclined to think that it'll either be a 7 as it was before or reduced down to 5. Going up to 9, would certainly be, I think, from our point of view, a positive development, because it would suggest that Xi feels that he can't run everything personally.
Charles, Xi has a birthday, 70 years old, later this year. Vladimir Putin just turned 70. Our number 68 was fixed as the time to move on, but they both exceeded that. So the question here is, are we looking at lifetime rule? Is that what's being suggested by these non-announcements of successors? We have a 30 seconds.
Yes, I think that, Mr. Xi has put himself in such a position of authority and establishing, if the constitutional amendment, for example, suggests that it's Xi Jinping thought equivalent to the revolutionary ideology of Mao Zedong thought, that he would be irreplaceable. I mean, who could replace a godlike figure? And so from that point of view, I think that that's the direction it's moving, and there won't be any successors. And maybe like Putin, he really isn't concerned about what happens after he, as they say, goes up to meet Marx.
Right. The successor is mortality. Charles Burton of the McDonnell Laurier Institute, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.